Shalom Havarim. Hello, friends. I'm going to apologize first because this may be offensive to short people. Is it okay if I tell a couple short jokes? Short jokes, right? Now, I heard about a guy who was a little short in stature. He was below average in height, and he and a friend were going to go miniature golfing. But, you know, for him, it was just called golf. So he's going to miniature golf. That was short joke number one. He was going to golf with his friend, and the shorter guy lost his wallet. And it turns out it wasn't just lost. Somebody took his wallet from him. You know, somebody grabbed it actually out of his back pocket. You know, he's pickpocketed. And I just thought to myself, when this short guy was pickpocketed, I wondered, who could stoop so low? No, come on. Really, you don't get it. Grandpa will explain that to you later. No, I really do. I care about short people. I love short people. I really find them down to earth. So stop with number two. Well, I should have. Yes, I'll learn. So it's good to be with you here this Sunday. It is the last Sunday of the month of October. So the next time we return in this space, it will be November. We have like three more Sundays after this until we begin Advent. Now, I want to make sure that everybody here has it on their calendar that next Sunday, the first Sunday of November, is a very important day. You have to set your clocks back 1 hour. Yes, if you do not set your clocks back 1 hour, Roger will put you to work when you get here, and he'll have, I'm sure, have you putting, you can find a job. They can make the coffee. They can do things like that. No, you get an extra hour to sleep in next week. So, yes, that is exciting until spring comes. All right, so this is the last Sunday of October, and we have been working through the Gospel of Luke for the last few weeks. We're going to continue to work through Luke right up until we begin Advent. And if it seems like Advent is early this year, this is the earliest date that it can begin on. Because Christmas this year is on a Sunday. So we'll have the 4 weeks before Christmas, and then Christmas Day will be on a Sunday. But we want to continue to work through the book of Luke. And when we come through the book of Luke, we come to today's passage, and it's the story of Zacchaeus. And this is a story that we've heard throughout our entire lives. Even as I'm sitting here with these children, some of them can't even read. They know a few things about Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? He was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. We know what he did then. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord. The Lord he wanted to see is how I learned the song. Okay. What do we do when we have these passages that we know so well? We know the songs from the time we grow up and learn how to speak. Well, what I want to do today is I want to look at a couple different interpretations of this passage. Because there's a different way that we can read it. And I'm not sure that this new way of reading this passage is really the way it was intended, but I do think it's actually correct. And what I mean by that is this may not be the way it was intended when Luke wrote this gospel, but the message that it teaches is correct. It's in line with the teachings of Jesus. So what we're going to do today is we're going to walk through the story of this wee little man. We're going to read it through the traditional way, and then I'm going to give you the alternative reading, and I think we can see how we can all grow through this teaching today. Because I believe that these stories that have been around for 2,000 years, every time I read through these stories, I can find something new to learn. It's not a dead story. This is living scripture that is alive and well in our world today. What I'm going to do today is I'm going to challenge you to read these things in different ways. I'm going to show you different ways of approaching this text, and that hopefully we can open our eyes to what God has before us today. We can handle that. Don't worry, it's not going to be out there too far. We got this. We can handle it. So let's start by looking at the traditional way of reading this text. So we find in this story that Jesus is wandering along the road through the city. Which city is he going through? Through Jericho. And he's traveling from city to city. He's going through Jericho, and he has a bit of a reputation. People are coming to see him. It's a good reputation. People want to see Jesus. They hear that he's going to be in town. They hear that he's passing by. People are out there. They're snapping selfies with him, wanting to post that to their Instagram. All these things, not one of this a little out of date, but exactly the same thing is going on here. People want to see Jesus, and they want to be seen with him. So they're doing this whole thing, online, getting likes and thumbs up and stuff like that. This is the atmosphere of what's going on. Now, among the people that want to see Jesus that day is this man named Zacchaeus. And as we have said many, many times already, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. So as Jesus is coming through the town, Zacchaeus knows that he wants to be able to see Jesus, but because he's a wee little man, he's going to have to get a different perspective. He climbs up in the sycamore tree so that he can look down into the crowd to see Jesus. We find this in verse 3. He, that is Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now, I do have one word underlined there. I pointed this out about 3 years ago when I went through this text the last time. This is not our alternative way of reading this text, but just to get you kind of started in that path. Who is the second he referring to? Is it Zacchaeus who was little, or was Jesus short? Because it would work both ways. If Jesus was short and he was going through this crowd, it would make sense for Zacchaeus to climb up to be able to look down on the crowd. So it's not entirely clear which person was short in this story. Now, I do believe, well, first of all, that shows the importance of not overusing pronouns, because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. But the thing I want to point out is there's different ways of understanding this. Now, I do think that it was Zacchaeus who was short. We tend to think of Jesus as being tall. I mean, we as a society, we elevate people who are tall, dark, and handsome. I probably have this image of Jesus in my mind. He looks like, I don't know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson with hair and a beard. Jason Momoa, maybe that's a better example. If you don't know who those people are, you're okay. If you're just disappointed that I know who those people are, I am too. So this is my image of Jesus. We assume that he's tall, dark, and handsome. He was probably just an average-looking dude based on some of the scriptures that we read. And I think if he was actually the short one in this text, we'd have heard about it elsewhere in the Bible as well. So likely it's Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is this wee little man. He climbs up in the tree. So Jesus is coming along the road, and he looks up in the sycamore tree, and he says, that was a poor showing. Thank you, Cadron. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I love that he invites himself over. Which probably would have been a little more normal back in those days than it is today. It's a cultural thing. But he recognizes who Zacchaeus is. He calls him by name. He says, come down immediately. And he's going to go and he's going to have lunch with the guy. He's going to spend the night at his house. He's going to be his guest. And Zacchaeus is excited about this. But who isn't excited about it? The people, the crowd, they look and they say in verse 7, they say, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Oh, the people are not excited. They were excited to see Jesus, but they're like, does he even know whose house he's going to stay at? Does he know who this guy is? And then we find this response in verse 8. Zacchaeus says, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount. Now, the traditional way of reading this text is that Zacchaeus had a conversion experience right there, because Jesus arrived, called him by name, called him out of the tree. He says, I am going to not only become a follower of you, that's Pennsylvania language, isn't it? I'm going to become a follower of you. I'm also going to repay all the people that I have harmed along the way, give half of my money away to the poor, return 4 times the amount of money I have cheated from people so far. This is the traditional way of reading this text. You've heard this before. We're going to simply call it the traditional interpretation. Now, yeah, the traditional reading is that Zacchaeus repents and gives away a lot of money. Now, the alternative reading that I'm going to show to you today, everything up until verse 8 is the same, okay? Short guy climbs the tree, sees Jesus. Jesus calls him down, invites himself over for lunch and for staying the night there for lodging. The different way of reading it, this is verse 8 again, the same verse that I had up there just a second ago, where Zacchaeus says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Now, the challenge here is that the NIV and most of our modern translations put this in the future tense. If I have cheated anyone, I will pay back four times the amount. The problem is, if you read like the King James Version or Revised Standard Version, some of the more wooden kind of literal translations, they do not put it in the future tense. They put it in the present tense because that is how it is in the original Greek. Here's the King James Version. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold." It seems to be a present tense, which suggests something that he is currently doing and will continue to do. So I call this translation, when we have the traditional reading, I call this one the alternative reading, where Zacchaeus defends himself against the crowd, and the crowd is critiqued. Stick with me here for a minute. All right, so Zacchaeus, we know, first of all, he has said here after Jesus calls him down from the tree, the people call him a sinner. He says that he's going to give how much of his money, his wealth away? Half. Thank you. You're listening. All right. In the Bible, we have this mandatory giving, this donation that we find in the Torah. People who are followers of the Torah, Jewish people, were required to give a percentage of their wealth, their income, to support the temple and to support the poor people. That was called the tithe. Tithe is simply the Hebrew word for one-tenth. So this was required of all people. And if you remember last week, we talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector that both went into the temple. And there the Pharisee was bragging about giving one-tenth of all he had away. Well, here we have Zacchaeus, who goes beyond what is required of the Torah. If the Torah required one-tenth, well, Zacchaeus is here saying, "I'm going to give away. No, I have been giving away one-half of all of my wealth." Remember, this is an ongoing thing. And you probably also know that there is a biblical commandment for if somebody is cheated. Everybody knows Deuteronomy by heart, right? Your life verse? You know, Deuteronomy, I have to look it up. It's not even Deuteronomy, it's Leviticus. I have to look it up. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 5b gives very specific instructions on what to do if someone is cheated. It says they must make restitution in full. Add a fifth to the value to give it and give. Add a fifth of the value to it and give it all to the owner. So the idea here in Leviticus is if I accidentally cheat Lowell out of $100, by accident or by intention, if I cheat Lowell out of $100, Leviticus says I have to give him back $120. So what Zacchaeus is saying is, if I by accident cheat somebody, I restore them not $120, but $400. So this different interpretation, it looks at these present tenses in verse 8, and it seems to be like Zacchaeus is defending himself when the crowd says, "You are going to sit and dine with a sinner?" And Zacchaeus is saying, "No, I'm not a sinner. Like, look at what I do. You know, the commandment is there to give one-tenth of your wealth. Well, here I am. I give half of my stuff away. The commandment is there, if you cheat somebody, you're supposed to restore one and one-fifth to them." And Zacchaeus is saying, "But I give 400% away." And we just look at this math. What he seems to be doing is saying he goes above and beyond what is required. The biblical tithe is 10%. Zacchaeus says, "I already give 50%. Biblical restitution calls for the full amount plus one-fifth. Zacchaeus is saying, I give four times as much. If you look at this in context, I mentioned last week we looked at the Pharisee who gave a tenth of his possessions. Also in that same chapter, we have the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and he says, how can I be saved? And he and Jesus have this conversation about the Ten Commandments. And Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect, give all of your wealth away and come and follow me. Well, here Zacchaeus already does that. If we are to read this in the alternative way of reading, if Zacchaeus is there defending himself against the accusations of the crowd that he is not a sinner, what he is saying is, look at what I'm doing. I'm no sinner. I'm actually this uber Hebrew. Like, I'm above and beyond the Pharisees. I'm above and beyond what the Torah even requires of me. So whether or not you want to read the text in this way, I think what we can see is that